All right, everybody, welcome to the Sports Blizzard, live to you from Costa Rica.
Hell yeah.
we're battling a few sound issues right now, but we're going to get through it. I think everybody's good. Our levels are up.
I can't hear you in my ears.
You can't hear me?
Keep going. There you go.
Is that it?
It's sweet statutory.
There it is. Okay. That's a common phrase today for some reason. I'm not really down with it. Hey, everybody, I'm Quimby with the Green Legion. To my right is my best friend coming down on vacation with us, Tony Palmer. How are you, sir?
Good to be here. Long day. I'm just going to try to keep up with you guys. I'm excited.
Appreciate that. Next to him, number 78 in your program, number one in your hearts, Mr. 15-year veteran of the NFL, Hollis Thomas.
Appreciate you for having me. That phrase actually came from a TV show I was watching. It just sounded funny. Family Guy.
Was it a Quagmire?
It was Peter. Peter Griffin. He was looking at a high school girl.
And on my far end, we've got a new panel member, professional sports handicapper Gavin Jay.
Mm.
How are you, sir?
Good.
You got to come up to the microphone, though.
I'm good. I'm here.
Yeah, right, you got
to
actually
pull the mic to it.
Yeah, you can actually touch the mic and pull it to you. Yeah, sound off like you got a pair. Go ahead.
I'm good. I'm here.
There we go.
Welcome come on, man.
Let's do this.
Here we go. Everybody, we're going to go Facebook Live here in a little bit so you can all be jealous of where we are and where you are not.
Hell yeah.
And we're going to rip through our sponsors here real quick after we adjust Jay's microphone a little bit.
We got to get Jay adjusted here. He's kind of keeps – you don't have to go through that. We're going to get to that each and every way. So all you got to do is worry about talking into the mic and talking
to
so everybody.
Point it down if you want, bro.
Let's point it down if, yeah.
That works.
There we go. All right, everybody. The sponsors of the Sports Blizzard are Miller Lite. If you are drinking beer, you are drinking Miller Lite. If you're not drinking Miller Lite, we want you to drink Yards, the brand new brewery at 5th and Spring Garden, a fantastic facility. You guys would love it. Also, our friends over at Stateside Vodka, distilled premium vodka in beautiful Fishtown section of Philadelphia. Do not forget about our good friends at Bucks County Baseball Company. Their website is open. It's bigger than their store, buckscountybaseballco.com. Don't forget about our good friend Mike McVay over 422 Jeep Limerick. Walk in, talk in sports, walk out with a new Jeep. You didn't even realize you bought it. Of course, all of our good friends at the Cavanaugh's Restaurant, Cavanaugh's River Deck, which is closed until the end of April. Cavanaugh's Head House right off of South Street. Cavanaugh's Rittenhouse between 18th and 19th on Sansom Street. Go see our friend Paul in the basement bar. And, of course, Diaz, who is not with us tonight. Thank God. We don't have to talk about Markelle Fultz tonight.
He's going
to
come back. Watch and see.
Diaz and our old stomping grounds, the University City Cavanaugh's at 39th and Sansom. Go check out our friend Brian up there. And, of course, don't forget about our friends in Manayunk Bourbon Blue down at the bottom of Rector Street. Great facility with their balcony opening back up March 12th. And our friends at the top of the hill, the Bayou and Cactus. And, of course, Manayunk Sport and Social Club, the most social sporting club in the entire city. And, finally, our good friend Ken Davies, who we miss. We haven't seen or heard from in a while. We understand you come up for air every now and then. It's good to hear that. I believe you're in Delray right now. It's not a far flight from Delray, Ken.
Pretty sure he's not allowed to this country
I got a big golf course here, baby. Come on. Our good friends at City Fitness Philadelphia, City Fitness Philly, all their locations, Northern Liberties, Fishtown, Graduate Hospital, Logan Square, South Philly, and Market East. Everybody, the Sports Blizzard is finally gaining some momentum. We are getting some downloads. Do us a favor. Subscribe to us on Google Play and iTunes by searching for the Sports Blizzard. Every episode will come right to your phone as soon as we upload it. I'm going to say this right now. Phone lines are open now. 484-429-9983. 484-429-9983. And do not forget, the Sports Blizzard has come 2,500 miles. That means, kids, we can come to you wherever you are. We are available for hire. We bring the big dog Hollis Thomas with us. That means he's available for autograph and photo sessions before and after the show. The Philly's finest 2019 swimsuit calendar is finally out, which means as well, your promotion with us will include a couple of our models and plenty of free calendars to give out to your clients. It is a fantastic program all around. Email me at Quimby at greenlegion.com or call the office 215-666-5944. 0. Boys, we got a lot to get to in a short amount of time.
It seems like a lot, but when I look and break this list down, it's really just the Eagles.
It really is.
I was going to let you say Flyers.
Okay, Flyers. Philadelphia Flyers, this is our year, volume 43. The Flyers are 17-23-6, which means they are 17-29. Mm-hmm. With a differential of minus 34, third worst in the NHL. Thanks. Moving on. Philadelphia 76ers.
I like their mascot.
Yeah, that's all I have to say. Yeah, he's the best thing going.
Go ahead. You got to get up to the mic.
Yeah, you got to get up to the mic.
I had a whole rant on the Flyers.
You do?
Go.
Please.
Yeah, but no, let's get to the Eagles.
we got to go through the other ones, though, first.
Jay, you got to slide in just a little bit.
That's what I said you could.
We kind of got to be up
I'm
on top of these.
I
got you.
Let's
got
go, Eagles.
There we go.
Let's do Eagles.
Nah, yeah. We're good. Sixers, no Diaz, no Fultz.
No good. Yeah, no Diaz. No. Diaz.
Although last night was a smashing. Mm. Smashing 149. They put up 149 points against the
Timberwolves.
Wow, dude.
The people they made the trade with, right?
That's right.
Remember that?
That's right.
Yeah, because I saw the interview with Dario Saric.
Oh.
He was kind of pissed. You know what? I saw the interview, and I actually watched the interview, which is just kind of interesting because when you see it, you go through like – you remember some questions you asked me about being a player? So he goes through his interview. He's saying, you know, they drafted me. They waited 2 years on me, and they went through this process thing. And it was like this process thing, and I come over here, and the people love me and stuff, and then they send me over. And so then they send me over to the Timberwolves, which I was like, I'm a hard player, and I like to work. I like to work at that. But to me, during the interview, he sounded like he was fucking pissed that he finally gets over here and starts being a part of the process, and these sons of bitches trade him. I saw the interview and I had to keep rewinding because I saw it online and I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? So because he was in the Timberwolves thing, and so it's like when you look at it, it's like you listen to his interview and he seems like he's fucking pissed.
Well, he should be. I mean, you're finding out right now that right. What's their record? They're looking at a 53 win season.
Yeah,
right. Which is pretty strong. But we're finding out that the complimentary players might be more valuable than
they thought.
Yeah,
the ones that we didn't sign, and then letting go of the two guys that we let go for a guy who you only rented for a fucking season, and he's turned out to do some. I'm going to say some silly shit. Basically, it's a lot of stuff that he's doing. Like he's challenging the question of the coach, which is cool. But that shit shouldn't get out of public.
I'm not going to disagree with you, but at the same time,
I think it's. So shout out to Diaz with the process. I think it's a whole different process now. We have our big three. They're learning to play with each other. We're going to add players. Like last year we added Bellinelli. We added
is he still with us? They're not with us anymore. They're gone.
Philadelphia is going to be a destination for all kinds of players.
You say that, but I'm glad you said that because it can't be a destination with the turmoil that's going on up in the front office. You can't give your first round pick comes to you after he's benched and talking about his shoulder still fucking hurting. And then on top of that, his lawyer slash. Agent calls you and tells you this, and as a GM, you're supposed to take this shit. The GM before this. Was pillow talking to his fucking wife who has some accounts and telling him shit that he was thinking, and she's tweeting all this shit. As a player, do you want to put it this way? Money aside, because the contracts are already slotted. Money aside, do you want to come to some bullshit like that?
You don't, but
there's no wrong answer.
The Sixers have the big three. Markelle Fultz, unfortunately, we don't know what's going to happen with that. But, I mean, hopefully even this year they're positioned to make a run for at least into the playoffs for the next few weeks. Markelle Fultz is kind of the unknown.
But I want to capitalize on when you just said that bullshit about the going to the playoffs. We were just doing this shit like about 6 or 7 years ago before they pulled all this losing shit. And they said, well, how many times do you want to go to the second round of the playoffs and lose? I was like, what the fuck are we doing now? We're going to what round of the playoffs and losing?
The Sixers were a disaster. What are they now? They're a solid team with a great future.
I'm with Jay.
Three studs. They could bring in Markelle Fultz. We have four.
They're closer than they've been in a long fucking.
You're still doing the same shit over and over again.
I don't know about that.
And when the dust settles, We're going to be back at Tomasome. I guess we got to start the process over again.
If they're doing the same shit, then their record will be a lot worse.
No. You're wrong. That's what the Flyers are doing.
The Flyers are doing that. But to what I'm saying is you just wrecked a team. It really wasn't a team. All you had to do is, you didn't even have to say you was doing a process. You're supposed to tear the team down, and it's not supposed to take no damn 10 fucking years to build no squad. You're not going to have no – put it this way. When I draft somebody –
damn, Hollis going straight up ghetto on us.
Well, no, but when I draft somebody, the motherfucker needs to be able to do something now, especially at the top pick. It's like you don't get to make millions of my dollars off of your fucking potential.
What do you think Markelle Fultz is?
He sucks ass. He was 9-22 in college. 9-22 in college. Tell me what got good he.
Did you think that when he was drafted?
Damn right.
You're already good.
Damn right. I thought that. Oh God! I told him don't draft him. He sucked. You cannot be a great player at 9-22. Who's the kid in Boston?
Tatum.
He's not good.
No, I'm saying in hindsight.
He's having a sophomore. Yeah.
It wasn't fucking hindsight. Did you see the Final Four? Did you see the Final Four?
Hold on.
Yeah, we all did.
Yeah, oh. Who was,
what we're seeing right now is the
side
eyes.
Who was a beast in the Final Four?
I watched
who was
the Final Four either.
Who
every
was a
year.
Fucking beast?
I'm not going to remember it, though.
Who was a fucking beast in the Final Four?
I think Jason Tatum.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you take that, and then you take the fact that you're banking on the kid that's with a team. He's supposed to be the best fucking player in the draft. You go 9-22. 9-22. You don't even. And then you try to compare him to Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons' team, they were 17-12, and they were asking them to come to the tournament.
Nobody compares Markelle Fultz.
Yes, they do. Was he on? No, not you. You don't. You don't. Hold on.
Before the Sixers drafted Markelle Fultz, mm-hmm. What was your problem with him?
Did you not
like his work ethic?
He sucked.
Because he worked really hard.
He sucked. He completely.
So hold on a second.
He fucking sucks.
So you're not a believer that he like lost his jump shot or lost his confidence?
He fucking sucks from the word go.
He sucked his entire time, you're saying?
Yeah. Well, so name a time when he was good. Name me a fucking time when he was good. Name me a time when he was good. I'm fucking waiting.
You're an ex-NFL player.
Name me a time when he was good.
Hold on.
Name me a time when he was fucking good.
I just want you to wipe yourself with the towel. Right
thanks. Just name me a time when he was good.
He played a year in college, man.
So did motherfucking he? So did Jason Tatum.
You're an athlete.
Yeah, but this is what
did you think about his work ethic coming into the
I don't
the
give
NFL
a fuck about your work ethic.
The NBA.
You can practice all fucking
he
day long.
Like to go
you
out talking to clubs.
About practice? You said practice. Practice. It's about what you accomplish on the field.
Hey, man, that's a good sign coming out of the draft. I'd rather have that than somebody running around to the clubs, getting drunk.
I'm with Jay on this one, Hollis.
You know what's a good sign? But do you know what's a good sign? A good sign is going to the Final Four and winning. You know what's a good sign also? It's kicking ass when you're on the court. You know what's a good sign?
You know
not going 9-22.
You know what's a good sign?
What's that?
When the ringleader gets off this fucking topic.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate you.
Jesus
sorry.
Christ.
Sorry, but I'm an assassin.
Real quick. I got a quick question
for
you.
That doesn't go anywhere, man. Look at all that college football.
So where's he going now?
Put the microphone down.
But where's Markelle Fultz at now? Where the fuck is Markelle Fultz at now?
I'm hoping that he's going to add to the three that we have.
No. We deal with millions of dollars. Fuck hope.
Hollis, one question. 32 teams in NBA?
I got to deal with this every week.
32 teams are fucking wrong.
Okay. I'm saying,
wrong.
No matter who had the first pick, how many of those 32 teams would have taken
it? None of them are going to take it.
Hollis, remember
the team that would
have
done that.
Remember, this is a family show with an edge.
Sorry.
Hold on. Have some JWB right now.
Yeah, Markelle Fultz.
Have a lot.
Break your ankles.
Finish that.
Markelle Fultz suck, dude.
He'll break your ankles.
He'll break my ankles. I'm a fucking defensive tackle. And if he tries to break my ankles, I'll throw him in the stands.
Now you got excuses.
Jay, I saw an iguana break Hollis's ankles yesterday.
And the iguana didn't break my ankles. I was running. So there.
I was running straight up.
I was running straight up running. So.
And on the phone, the official Sports Blizzard Phillies correspondent, Chris Sack.
Oh,
are you
Chris
with us? Chris.
Chris.
He said it's a little choppy.
It's a little choppy.
Turn down your radio.
It's on the line.
Can you hear us, Chris? All right, we're going to try to get that back in a second.
Call us back, Chris, because I had a couple of questions. I had a couple of questions for Chris about this upcoming thing. But this is the only thing I'm saying, dude. We've come to a time in our life. It's like we used growing up. Did you have to make the team? Did you have to earn playing time?
Of course,
no, no,
man.
No, no, but did you have to? It's like
hang on, real quick, Chris. Are you there? Chris. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, this might be the challenge. This might be the third world challenge.
Dag, we can't find Chris. You might have to get his questions and get his commentary from him.
I don't know.
Chris is 3,000 miles away. Just
yeah, Chris is 3,000 miles away.
Chris.
I wanted Chris because I wanted to know about Bryce Harper.
I might be dogging you right now. I'm sorry, brother. We're gonna talk about the Phillies anyway, and we're gonna get back to Chris later on. Hopefully, after we figure out how to get him back on the line, Chris. Sorry about that, brother. All right, we're moving on right now because I don't want you two arguing about Sixers.
No, but it's like it's kind of a.
All right, that's enough.
It's a weird dynamic that people are.
That's enough.
Kiss his ass and he's done nothing.
You're not letting it go.
No, fuck no, I'm not letting it go. I will never.
It's
let
the
that
most
go.
You've talked about the Sixers. In 3 months.
That's because I'm not. I'm on Saturdays. You hear me talk about him then. Is that Chris? Is that Chris calling us back? I hope Chris calls us back.
This is on Brett Brown. He's going to make it work.
Thank you. Thank you. Finally. That's all I've been saying. It's like the kid, when you draft a kid like that high, and it's like I wouldn't have did it. Put it that way. And it's one specific reason. If I'm trying to build a champion, I don't need somebody who's never been a champion. And I don't need somebody who can't lead. You ask him to be the general of your team. You ask him to be the general of your team. He can be the general of a Washington team that everybody said everybody on the team sucked. So apparently he sucked too. It's kind of like going to get Nabi Asomugha.
I still don't know how to spell that last name.
See what nice now you see what I'm talking about. See, and say he's like, so everybody was wrong. Yes, they were, and they will hate to admit that they're wrong. And but you know who wasn't wrong?
Danny Ainge.
Exactly.
Danny Ainge wasn't wrong.
Because what did they do? They brought his happy ass into for a workout. Danny Ainge was like, oh, this is some bullshit.
They told him to take a square peg in a round hole.
Exactly.
They tried. They were like, nah, no thanks.
Yeah.
Chris Sack, are you with us?
We needed that talk, too. Cause
I wanted some
baseball.
Damn it. Chris, are you with us?
Chris always has his ass.
I'm trying like hell here, you guys. All right, we're going to talk about baseball. Chris, we'll get back to you next week when I figure out what the fuck we're doing down there. All right, well, we are moving on to baseball right now because this is important.
Yeah.
Per MLB, per Bleacher Report, per CBS Sports, per NBC Sports, the Phillies are now the front runner to sign Bryce Harper.
Yeah, you know what the weird thing was? I saw him in the uniform. I woke up and saw him in the Phillies uniform on my TV, and I was like, did they sign him? And I was like, no, it was like per report at the bottom. I was like, you sons of bitches, don't make me wake up like that.
So. Per report from the Sports Blizzard.
yeah, talking to my girl.
What do you got, baby?
No, I love Bryce Harper.
Yeah, that's,
we've got Rob who's listening back home and going in studio to do the Rob V show right after this.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't seem to think we need either one. I'll be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a difference between getting Machado or Bryce Harper, it's a no-brainer to me. It's Bryce Harper.
Yeah. Well, one of the main reasons for Bryce Harper, though, is because what Manny Machado said in the fucking World Series. I don't give a fuck how you feel. You don't.
We don't need to hash that back up. I know, but I don't care, just from a sheer talent standpoint.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that too.
And the fact that Harper is going to be throwing darts at a 330-foot right field wall.
Exactly.
81 games out of the year.
And I'm tired of seeing Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, and Ryan Howard jerseys to go around the stadium. Sooner or later, we got to get some fucking stars that somebody can relate to.
Oh, that's right. I saw somebody with a McCutcheon jersey that just bought their kid, and I'm like, really? 3 years?
Come on.
You could have waited a couple more days.
Today, you know, you could have went and got a Marlon Anderson jersey. Today's his birthday.
All right, just so you know, Hollis and I have hung out for a little over a year. It's always at night. We're always drinking. Yesterday was our first extended period of time hanging out. You might be one of the funniest fucking idiots with a vast array of the most useless Jeopardy knowledge of anyone I have ever met in my entire life.
Here's one for the show. Female dragonflies fake like they're asleep when they don't want to have sex with an unwanted dragonfly, male dragonfly. So it's just like a real woman.
This is like every bird on the planet has an average of 84 bowel movements a day.
I had to tell him, and
he had to bring that up because we put him under that tree.
Well, sitting under the tree, and the bird was we were knocking the birds away from the food, and so I look up and it was one that's sitting over me in the oven.
Back to sports.
84 per day.
An interesting element about the Phillies right now, in addition to Bryce Harper. I don't know if you guys have been reading up at all, but they are also looking at Dallas Kuchel.
That's a good one. I like him.
Which, I mean, you know, 2015 Cy Young Award winner, World Series champion with the Houston Astros. I don't know how you can't.
You can't like him. I don't know how you can't like him.
I don't know how you can't like that that move. In addition to that, Kimbrel out of Boston would immediately solidify that bullpen. What's up, Jack?
No.
You don't like him? You don't like him? Tell me why. Go ahead, tell me why.
He was dominant last year. Mariano Rivera, last year.
Okay.
Closers have a short life. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do, bring him in as the next Papelbon?
That's quality. I didn't like Papelbon. Oh, yeah, my bad. He was trying to get your mic.
Plus, Kapler doesn't even believe in a traditional closer role.
Hey, what do you think about Kapler?
We'll see.
Let me give you this tidbit of information. You know, before he got hired here in Philly, he got interviewed for the LA job, and some of the let's say the people that are in charge of shit, like the other high price players, said if you hire him, fucking trade me.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not good.
Kershaw.
All right, so you don't like this move at all?
Nah, baseball's totally changed. I mean, look at this.
Go ahead.
Look at how they start. I mean, people are throwing closures in the first two innings. We don't have a normal manager. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, I'm just sick of chasing the hot closure from last year.
Yeah. And to what you said, it's like when you look at the way he fucked over us the last bit of the season, like where it was an epic fail. It was the end of our season was an epic fail. Did you know that? We're the first team in MLB history to be 15 games over 500 and in fucking first place, and to lose that and be damn near last place at the end of the fucking season. But then he trick fucks us by playing what we say.
Oh my God, dude! Family show with an edge.
Okay.
Somebody pat him down. Look at him.
So then he bends us over, makes us take it raw, and he plays small ball. He starts playing small ball. What we should have been playing, because we have some fast guys that can run and steal bases. So instead of, it's like, did you pay attention at the beginning of the season? He had everybody watching the first like three or four pitches, trying to take the pitcher deep into the count, and we were taking strikes. And you'd be sitting there like at the. I think the best thing to do is if they still let Larry Anderson commentate the games, listen to fucking LA when we're up to bat. It's the funny.
LA is hysterical.
Yeah, it's my guy. I love LA. But he's like, I interviewed him. The first time I interviewed him, he said, my first question was, you know, what? How did you know it was time to go? He's like, well, I was in AAA ball. And I had a long friend with, I had a long talk with my friend JD. And then the next morning I went in, I just told him I was retired. And I was like, who is JD? Jack Daniels. I was like, I was fucking dying, dude.
That's great.
Had a long talk with my friend Mr. JG.
That is great.
Closers are weird, man. They're like kickers. You just can't.
Do you remember that Bud Light commercial?
It's wired. They're wired.
Which
weird,
one?
Are you,
kicker.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that? I was so having fun at Cody Parkey's expense.
Oh God!
Before they took him off suicide watch when they changed the statistic from a missed field goal to a block kick, and a football team had just won a big game, and they're all throwing champagne around.
Right.
And a fucking little kicker comes in with a Bud Light, starts squirting everywhere.
And everybody, right? Yeah.
He's like, yeah. And everybody just stops. All the big guys are looking around. What are you doing? That's so bad. Kicker.
You feel bad for him?
Quip. No.
Quip.
You want to know why?
Yeah.
There's two reasons why.
Well, he
next year's salary.
The kick was blocked.
Not, but next year's
salary.
That's his fault. It's still his fault.
Next year's salary is $3.5 million guaranteed, which I didn't have a problem with.
If they cut him, they owe him $5.5 million. Yeah. He's doing well one way or the other.
Exactly. But the other reason why is because the jackass went on Good Morning America with his wife. You get continually to make people remember that shit. If I was his teammate, I would have kicked his fucking teeth in.
Right.
I'm sorry. It's like, you missed a kick. Okay, we said it was okay.
Right.
Sit your ass down.
Is it more of a, because it's more of a we team thing, not a you, I,
right,
I saying going on.
Exactly.
And his teammates had his back.
Yeah. His teammates had his back initially.
Up until that point.
But you go on, that's the jacked up part.
But no, this is the sensitive country that we live in.
Plus.
Now. Get your sensitive ass somewhere else now.
I forget the exact quote. What was it? Directly after the game, this is going to sting for a couple days?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to stink for a couple. This is going to stink.
If you were his teammate and you heard that a couple days.
I slapped the shit out of him. Open hand to the mouth. I give you case in point. You guys, his case. His
Junior?
Case in point.
When I get home, I'm going to slap your mama in the face.
Case in point. I don't know if you guys remember we had Chris Bonio on our squad. You remember we had Chris Bonio on the squad? Chris Bonio. Dallas guy. We was down in Dallas. He missed a chip shot field goal that he kind of hesitated on kicking. Do you know that when we got in the locker room, this is my second year, some coaches can't walk by him throwing Gatorade, not in a festive fashion either, throwing Gatorade on him and said, I never fucking liked you anyway. I was like,
really?
I was upset. I was like,
hold on, that's awesome.
I'm talking about like, it was more than one coach. It was more than one coach, too. They was pissed at him.
Chris Bonio. Feel free to call in if you want to.
Chris Bonio, he was pretty cool. He was pretty cool in an asshole type way.
484-429-9983.
Like Quimby.
Yeah. Well, no, nowhere near Quimby.
Wait a second. Don't even start.
No, well, I am an asshole, too.
Yeah, we got that. We got that now.
Yeah, what you do that already? I thought it was a prerequisite.
I didn't feel bad for him before, but now I almost do.
For Chris Bonio?
No. Oh. Cody Parkey, man.
Why? He gets $3.5 million next year. And he went on Good Morning America.
Malcolm was mad. He felt bad.
No,
he went
the fuck
straight
he didn't.
To the
yeah,
side
Malcolm
lines.
Went right into the locker room and started laughing.
He went straight to the sidelines. His quote was, I feel bad for him.
Yeah, let's on to the next one.
Right. Exactly.
I'm not losing sleep over it. I know, I'm just saying.
But it's like to compound it and to make it sting more for his own team, he was on fucking Good Morning America that next week. With his wife. One is like, sit your ass down.
We're going to try this. I don't think it's going to work.
Okay, we give him a guy. We give him a guy. Our Phillies guy in.
Is this Chris Bonio?
Who are you calling? Who are you and where are you calling from? We're still having phone issues, guys.
Due to technical difficulties, now we're going to take it to the
I don't know how
pool.
To fix this right now. I really don't. That's our fourth call that we've missed. Guys, we're going to try to work on that for next week's Costa Rica show. It's okay. Sorry about that, whoever you were. We'll get back to you.
We'll get back to you, Chris Bonio.
That was Chris Bonio.
It probably was.
And we got another one coming in that we're not going to be able to get. Can you hear me? Can you speak? All right, again, third world killing us right now.
It is beautiful out here, though. I'll just let you know that.
Yeah, we're going to make you guys feel really jealous, and we're really sorry about this right now. I do not know.
Developing country, not third world.
Yeah, that kind of went out like with the Cold War.
Can you hear us now? Can you hear us now? Can you hear us now?
Yeah, he had told you to check the volume.
Levels everywhere.
He had you checking levels everywhere?
Yeah, I got nothing, man. There's just nothing
yes.
I can do on this one. And
I'm
going to
enjoy this.
I don't know what to do.
Oil? No? Well, I'm still going to
enjoy
this.
Well, the fact that we have music and we have sound right now is better than we thought what we were going to have earlier.
We have sweet, sweet statutory.
We have sweet statutory. And the views and comments of everyone on the Sports Blizzard do not necessarily reflect the views and comments of the umbrella company, the Green Legion.
Yes, this is solely a rogue mission that we're on.
By the way, how fucking beautiful is this?
That is fucking awesome. Dude.
Would you guys like to know who you have to thank for this?
You?
Him.
Oh, him? Wow.
Yep.
This guy.
This guy right
there. What'd you do?
Chris Bonio's best friend.
You really? Did you get juice in your hair, too?
I hate cockroaches.
Sponsor for Gatorade that was poured on him.
thanks to our good friend Gavin, we were introduced to this place.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Gavin. Hey, totally threw you under the bus.
That's it. All right, let's see here. Everybody... we are going to take a quick break here.
Sweet Jesus.
Oh,
sorry.
I know. And we have to do something very strange when we do this. We have to switch out pipelines for our sound. So, everybody give us a second, and we will be back after this. All right. We are back on the Sports Blizzard. Microphones 1 and 4 are on right now.
Yeah.
Microphone 2 is disappeared because of food. Microphone 3 doesn't want to hear anybody chomping into half a cow.
Is that what you don't want? Sorry. I was only going to eat between questions.
Mm-hmm. Because nobody can hear that. All right. We are back on the Sports Blizzard. We've got food everywhere. We're going to go Facebook Live in just a little bit. Everybody, we found out what the problem is with our calls. We will not be able to take any more today. Our upload speed is simply too low where we are. We will be substantially upgraded by next week, so you will be able to call in. We do apologize for that. It does kind of suck because this is the most call-ins we've had in a while. We knew there were going to be a lot today. We appreciate your patience on this one. And please, please do not forget to, A, put the microphone on the table.
Sorry.
Let it go.
I'm going to eat some fries.
Sit on your hands.
I'm going
to
eat some fries.
Sit on your hands. You can use one later to make it feel like it's somebody else.
It's called a stranger.
All right. I got you. It's okay. Family show with an edge. Family show with an edge.
Stranger.
All right. Everybody, we are getting into our Eagles segment. Just so you know, we have lined up for the rest of the program. We are going to talk Eagles. We are going to talk. I know, Rob, you hate it. And guess what? I don't care. We are going to talk Foles versus Wentz. I'm going to take my stance. Hollis is going to take his stance. Brett Favre is going to take our stance. Jay is going to say something about how much he loves Carson, and Tony's going to stay omnipotent, which is pretty much how this show is going to run for the rest of the fucking season. But besides that, all right, well, let's get into this. All right, first of all, people might think at this point, you know, based on what we do, all right, we're all part of the Green Legion family here now. It's bigger than me, which, you know, it's funny because my gut is fucking huge right now. But I hope to represent everybody in saying at this point in time, hey, I got to say nothing but great things about them and what they were able to accomplish based on adversity. They resurrected a dead season.
Hell yeah.
I'm normally the guy that wants to scream and holler at the fucking rain and be pissed off at the world, but I can't be. I can't be. They were, well, as you all know, I tried to move down here about a week and a half ago, and that didn't fucking happen. Because I pretty much made my reservation right after that Cowboys game. And in all fairness, I'm going to say this as well. I think we may have watched the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Yeah,
I believe whoever came out of that was going to win, and I'll say that right now, and I'll stake my claim on the fact that I think the Saints are going to run with this. I don't think Sunday's game between the Saints and the Rams is even going to be close. I know that's difficult to say that after the game they've already played in the regular season.
Right.
But I think Sean Payton is a good coach. I think Hollis likes Sean Payton.
Like Sean Payton, yeah.
You played for him?
Yep, for three years.
I think other than the fact that he has smooth breeze.
Cool breeze.
He does. I think he knows how to adjust. And I think after a full game with them, I'm going to put Sean Payton against the 32-year-old coach.
Right.
Every day of the week.
Right. I think the key in this situation is going to be Sean Payton against Wade Phillips.
Well, and I might be getting a little ahead of myself here.
Right.
We're going to get to that part in segment three. Back on, hey, dare I say, I'm proud of you guys. I don't want to sound like the like the father figure, even though I know I'm getting that old at this point. I'm proud of the Eagles.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear my hat high. I'm going to wear my green proud.
You're supposed to always do that.
Well, you know, I always do it just to be fucking obnoxious. But I'm a little proud, and I think they let the world know, hey, guess what? You can't count us out. We were 26 yards away from winning that game after they beat us by 41 points a month and a half ago.
Yep. We were 41 points and a couple of pressures and getting Drew Brees off the field on how many play drive?
I don't know, 11 minutes and 35 seconds.
On 117 yards.
It's only 100 penalties, yeah.
It was for the penalties, though.
I think all of us were watching that game going, what the fuck happened to the third quarter? Where did it go?
Not only that, you don't fault Swartzy for the first few third downs that they get, but at some point, you have to see that he's leaving six and seven man protection in there, and six and seven against four, I don't give a damn where you at. In a bar fight, that's an ass whooping. That's an ass whooping. It's like you expect these guys to pass rush each and every down, and then you get to the third down, and you think by some magical way, off of 6 or 7 man protection that they're going to make it there. They're not. It's like it's almost two on one each down the line.
I get you on that. Number one, before we go into this, mm-hmm. Alshon
mm-hmm. never drops anything.
Best hands in the league. Mm-hmm. Love
that was
the
third pass he dropped all season.
He's awesome. Last night was awesome when he went to the Sixers game. Standing ovation. Mm-hmm. I love how Philly's responding to him. I love how they're getting behind him.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was his statement?
This game is on me.
No. Besides that. Philadelphia is my home. I don't just work here.
Right.
Because that was a nice shot to Chicago.
Well, yeah, because it was.
Sorry, Jay, right, please.
And then the deal with Schwartz, I mean, look, guys, after the first quarter, the Foles did nothing. The offense did nothing. I understand your blitzing scheme. You got to put pressure at some point. But, I mean, if you look at the first game where we lost 48-7, every time they were like 11 blitzes, 8 of them ended up in bad spots. You could see that Schwartz was going to go into the game and not really want to blitz a lot. And I understand in certain spots.
He never wants to blitz.
Well, you have to you have to learn how. And one of the main reason why is because when you come up against coaches like Sean Payton, he's going to run those 6 or 7 man protections versus your 4, and it's going to win pretty much most of the time. So you have to force him. You have to force him out of those situations. Not only that, you have to force a player like Drew Brees off that damn spot.
I understand
that. And the only way you can do that is when you blitz, you might not get there all the time, but you're going to create some one-on-ones for some of your key guys that could get up the field. Your key guys are getting double-teamed and smashed to the chin play after play after play after play, which is creating that long-ass drive. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying you don't have to be Jim Johnson, but you need to create some mismatches along that line, and he just hasn't done that in the past 2 seasons for me.
Go ahead.
I totally understand. I get what you're saying, but with a player like Drew Brees, hold on. Tell me, what do you have to lose at this point? It's the last game of the season. What do you have to lose?
I get what you're saying, and I wanted to see him bring heat. I think Schwartz went into the film room and he looked at the last game and he saw, look what happens when we blitz. This doesn't end well.
But when you think about that, do you think the 11th DB has a better chance of Drew Brees surveying the land and letting his receiver run around for 4 or 5 seconds than having to make a quick fucking decision and get the ball out of his hand? Not only making the quick decision and getting the ball out of his hand, but getting off of his spot.
I agree with pressure you. There were times when I was like, I want pressure.
Pressure bust pipes.
But I think he's getting too much heat.
It's like he should be getting that heat because you're supposed to be a coach. You're supposed to put your players in position to win. We were not in the position to win. The game was close, yes. But if you look at that game, we got totally fucking dominated. And that third quarter alone, it exacted dominance.
That's where I'm going to disagree with you. You're going into New Orleans. You're going into the Dome.
Right.
You're giving up 20 points.
Right.
If we could have given up, if you went into that game saying we're going to give up 20 points, at New Orleans.
Hold on.
We would have all walked away saying we're going to win this game. What was the total? 29.5 points for the Saints?
Yeah, but if you say we're going to be up 14-0, but we're going to let them meticulously come back.
All we needed was a drive under that. We just needed one more touchdown.
You know what? All we needed was a fucking stop. This is what you're failing to realize. I hate this as a defender when you say that, he's going to get his plays. But you're supposed to bust his motherfucking head and make sure that he realizes you're there. You're supposed to put a time clock in his head to when you're going to hit him. If you don't do that, it's pretty much like playing. You know what 7-on-7 is?
Yeah.
That's what Drew Brees is out there fucking playing. And it's the fact that they guess how long the drive was. It was about 13 minutes, but guess how many yards they had? 117.
Yeah.
How many yards is it in the field? How many yards does it feel?
I got you. With the penalties, they got him there.
But
how many points would you have been happy with the Eagles giving up? Like, what was it? It's did not, they need to hold him to 14, 17?
It wasn't. See, this is the thing everybody's missing.
FYI, on Facebook Live, this is much better than listening to Diaz talk about Fultz.
It's all Fultz.
He's
going to
be good.
Yeah, the jacked up part about that is it's not about the points. It's about getting off the field in that third quarter and giving your offense an opportunity to get something going. It's like I've been sitting on the sidelines since the beginning of the third quarter. You're not. I don't have any rhythm. I'm not warm. It's kind of like what I had to learn how to do this as a player. It's like when they call my name, you had to be ready. It's point blank.
I understand. It's like,
but if you're a starter or something, you start the game and stuff, and it's like you get a lull. It's like you get ready to go back out there. Some shit ain't gonna really work right. It's like this is the nature of the beast. And I try to explain this to people. It's like it's like yes, we did a quality job by holding them to that many points. It was like, but had we got off the field at any point of that third quarter drive, then we would have done a lot better. It's like we got the ball one time in the third quarter.
We started with the ball.
We started with the ball,
quarter,
but we got a couple of first downs
at the end.
It's like, as a defensive player and as a teammate of those guys, I can't expect them to go out and produce nothing if I don't give them ample opportunity with the ball to get something churning. It's easy to play defense than it is offense. That's what I did. I did learn that.
What
it's
is like, a DC? Jim DC? Schwartz is a DC.
Yeah, Jim Schwartz, yeah, defensive coordinator.
Oh,
yeah. So it's like
he's a DC.
Yeah.
Antonio, I don't know what you're talking about.
And it also doesn't help when you go three and out and give your defense a little bit of a breather.
It does not help. That doesn't help. But it's like when you it's like this is what I equate that to. If we come out and we get you a turnover, we get you the ball like two or three times, and you keep going three and out. That's when I'm pissed. You want to know why? Because I don't guarantee that next time that we go out there, we giving up some fucking points because we tired. That's just the nature of the beast. If you don't get a fucking first down or something, then we giving up some points. And that's how a team rolls. You don't point the finger. That's up to us to point the finger. And I'm pointing the finger right now because he didn't put out – because I don't feel like Jim Schwartz, given our secondary was decimated. But you think our secondary fares better whether they cover somebody for 4 or 5 seconds, a Pro Bowl receiver for 4 or 5 seconds, or if we give him 1 or 2 seconds and him running around trying to get the ball out of his hand. What do you think?
I think Jay's getting calls from all his friends.
He's getting calls from all his friends.
I can't put that game on Schwartz.
I'm not putting it totally on Schwartz. I'm saying that one of the main reasons I, as a defender, not being able to get off the field and get my team the ball back, it hurts my fucking heart. As a defender, you need to give you like a quarterback like Foles, and I'm blaming the game mostly on Doug Peterson's play calling. You can't expect Foles with the play calling before that. We were getting 4 or 5 yards a whop. Why we stay throwing passes?
All right, so I heard Schwartz. I heard Foles. Mm-hmm. I mean, I heard Peterson. I haven't heard Foles.
Foles is a backup quarterback. He did what he's supposed to do.
He is a backup quarterback.
Exactly. And until people realize that, it's like put it this way: he's a backup quarterback, but he's one of the best backups you ever seen. You can only name a few backup quarterbacks that have a Super Bowl MVP and went on the run. You don't name me a backup quarterback that is the highest has the highest quarterback rating in the playoffs of any other quarterback. Period. Point blank.
Are we to the controversy yet?
It's close to it.
Flacco count.
Flacco? No, his quarterback rating is not higher than Flacco's. Flacco's not higher than
Jeff Garcia?
Jeff Garcia is not higher. Jeff Garcia hasn't won a Super Bowl either.
Yeah, but Jeff Garcia has a hot fucking wife.
Yeah, she is hot. I've seen her in person, too.
I think that was the question.
I'm not going to say anything about that.
All right, so it's I haven't been listening. I've been playing on social media. This is where we normally need Diaz. What are we arguing about? Fultz versus Wentz already?
We're arguing about basically the game, the way the game.
Fultz versus Wentz.
We get to the Fultz versus Wentz.
I wanted to see
if you guys caught that.
But the Carson versus Foles is my thing with that is, if I was a GM, I would not get rid of Foles until I saw Carson.
Okay, well, in that.
He said
particular.
He's a backup quarterback.
Excuse me.
But I wouldn't get rid of him yet.
Brett Favre, no disrespect at all to Carson Wentz. I think he's already proven that he's a great quarterback. Totally different than Nick Foles. Nick Foles, to me, is more of a Tom Brady-esque type quarterback. Very limited in what he can do, but very, very good in what he does. He's a pure pocket passer, and he's great at dishing it out, and he's proven that he's clutch. He did it this past week. He did it last year. He's done it time and time again, and he's proven that he can win in big games. That, I think, is what we have to look at, or the Eagles, or anyone in a similar situation. It's about winning. It's about being clutch, doing really what you expect your players to do, and he does it as well as anyone.
Yep, that's what it is. And it's, when you say that, I love Carson. I was like, but I'm not getting rid of Nick Slick Nick just before his fucking ego. I'm not getting rid of Nick because Carson has the propensity to get hurt. He's been hurt the last 6 or 7 seasons.
Wentz, what are you going to do?
Wentz injury history. Hold on a second. Mm-hmm. Wentz injury history. 2015, broken wrist. 2016, fractured rib. 2017, LCL tear grade 3. 2018, back. Now, I think we could chalk off 2018 because the back is a result of the injury.
Yeah, trying to come back early. Yeah,
come back early. I don't want to use that as a statistical degradation. But we're gonna get into this some more. And I want to. Our good friend Colleen Kudrick is listening. And I'll be honest with you, this girl knows more about football than all of us, including you.
Yeah, that's what you think. Bring her on. Bring it on.
Well, hold on a second. She's a big fan too.
Thanks.
So don't be a dick.
I'm not a total one, but mostly.
And this is what she posted when I started talking about a little bit of the controversy, and I want to read it. The Eagles seem like they are 100% committed to Wentz, so I think Foles is gone. Mm-hmm. But I'm not so sure I like it. Wentz has the potential to be better than Foles, but potential has to be realized, and sometimes it never is. The durability concern with Wentz is very real, and he shows no signs of being willing to change his style of play, which will continue to expose him to injury. Back injuries can be recurring. He also has no postseason experience going into year 4, while guys like Mahomes, Trubisky, Goff, etc. are gaining it. Foles has proven that he has ice water in his veins when the pressure gets dialed up, but Wentz is still an unknown there. I like Wentz. I'm pulling for him. But the assumption that he's automatically better than the guy who brought us our only Super Bowl and resurrected a dead season doesn't make a whole lot of sense. He gets a pass for a lot of things that past quarterbacks here have been crucified for.
Boom! Now, what to add on to what she said?
Can anybody disagree with anything
I don't disagree with nothing she said.
The last statement is just wrong.
No, they crucified Donovan. If Carson
Wentz came back to host that playoff game and put up 14 points and didn't score another point the rest of the game.
Y'all would have said that it was the defense fault. Y'all would have said it was the defense fault. Y'all been doing it. Hold on. Point blank, y'all been doing that. They've been doing that shit all year. It's like he's been stinking up the joint. He was stinking. Y'all brought him back and it's like, oh, he has this, this, and this. But are we winning the game?
We never had leads.
Yeah, we did.
About 17 good first quarters.
Yeah, 17 point lead at the first Tennessee.
Carolina
had
they
the
came
14
back.
Points.
Yeah, but I mean first quarter. What did the offense do?
Grab that. What did the offense do? What did it do? Come on, give it. What did the offense do? And did that confirm you what you said? The offense can't keep running up and going 3 and out. And guess who was in charge of that? RPO.
If you got a problem with the RPO, like you hate Schwartz. It sounds like you don't like Peterson. You got issues with them.
See, no, that's not.
I have a question for you. I have a question for
Go
you.
Go ahead.
Would the Eagles have won the Super Bowl last year without Carson Wentz?
Yeah.
Interesting. Hold on a second.
Actually, hold on a second.
I think that's an excellent point because I might say no.
Well, and I was only fucking with you. They probably wouldn't have, that was my thing. Is I know that Carson is. It's like put it this way, Carson is a great fucking regular season quarterback. You know who else was a great regular season quarterback? Who else?
Donovan McNabb.
You know who else was a great regular season quarterback?
Randall Cunningham.
No, it's not a knock on him. He's a young quarterback. I want him to do great. But to get rid of the guy who had ice in his fucking veins and brought a city that's never been to the fucking that's never had a fucking title.
Here's the thing that you got to look at right now, and let's be honest with you, the fortitude and testimonial to a man is not met until he's under the most pressure he's ever been in his life. All right, and depending on how they react in that situation, can only do one of two things: set him back or propel him forward. what the fuck does Foles have to be nervous about the rest of his career? Where, in fact, Wentz and Hollis, quit hitting the table, or I'm going to knock you out.
Sorry about that.
He's covered his fridge for us.
Where, where Carson Wentz is going to have to continue. Here you go. Mm-hmm. Here's the problem now that has developed, and it is undeniable. Fact of the matter is, if Carson Wentz doesn't win a Super Bowl for this team over the next 3 years, every single person will question him and whether or not we let Foles go.
I agree.
Yeah.
So, do you think that kid has the intestinal fortitude?
The testicle fortitude.
The testicle fortitude. The statute. What is it?
Testicle fortitude.
The statutory.
Basically, you think his nuts going to drop low enough for him to be able to come through?
Do you think that after everything that's taken place, Carson Wentz is and can shine, or do you think A, he tries so hard with his athletic ability to make plays that he puts himself in a position to get injured again, just because he has to live up to a billing now? There are so many more elements going into this that are mental as opposed to physical talent, and that is where most people are not looking at this.
Or like not even get hurt. Just how about how many times he's going to try to stay up instead of going down when he's getting gang tackled? That he's going to give up a fumble or something like that because he's trying to live up to that. Nick Foles is playing with house money. No matter what he does.
That's it.
He's not doing anything
Foles
wrong.
Is playing. Oh, my God. That's the best expression. Exactly. Period. Foles, right. For the rest of his career with the Philadelphia Eagles, is playing with house money.
This is the best way. It was an older guy when I first started playing. He told me, he's like, shit, I ain't got nothing to lose. He's like, I'm on a one-year contract. He's like, I got shit to lose. I'm going to go out here and start playing like my hair's on fire. And he gets signed year after year.
But seriously, yeah. I mean, let's talk about all the other
13 games, best quarterback in football, best player in
football.
Led us to the opportunity to win a Super Bowl.
I love the
stats are almost identical if you look through.
You don't have to look at the stats. What did I tell you though? There's been a bunch of great regular season quarterbacks. I still want to know if my boy Wentz could do it. It's like, I love Wentz. It's like, but I don't want him pressing to actually try to do this. I don't want the president to come back and he's not healthy.
My take's real simple. Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz is a quarterback of the generation. He's the best guy you're getting out. Andrew Luck was back last decade. He's starting to shine. Wentz is the guy of the future. 10 times out of 10, I'd rather have Carson Wentz.
All right.
In this situation, Foles was a great fit for the Eagles and something crazy was going on. But, I mean, football. 10 out of 10 times you want Wentz.
Football.
Make no mistake. No one's talking bad about Carson Wentz here. Right. We're just comparing him to a Super Bowl winning quarterback that happens to be on the same team, that happens to be like Mr. Clutch.
You
know what I mean?
Like, that happens to A, hold the record for most touchdowns in a single game, Schuster at Canton. B, holds the record for most receptions in a row, 25. C, Super Bowl MVP. Four, or D, won you a playoff game against New Orleans in 2013. If Riley Cooper catches that fucking screen pass that's in his breadbasket, right before the two-minute warning hits a first down, they run out the clock. There's no way the Saints can win. Instead, you got ass raped by Sproles after that. E got you to the playoffs again this year after a dead season. F, just an all-around nice guy. And G, most importantly, happily married, so he's not trying to bang out every good-looking broad in Philly, Pat Burrell.
What would you guys do?
I'd bang out every broad.
No.
No. This is
who would you do with Foles and Wentz?
Honestly, what would I do? I would try to keep both of them.
I'd be on the fucking phone with John Gruden right now finding out how many first-round picks I can get with a quarterback's class coming out of college in the next year or so that is remarkable. In so many ways.
Just start fresh.
Because this is one thing.
I take three more years. Right now, I will take three more years of Foles.
Yeah.
And knowing full well that we have a squad that can win a Super Bowl because the foundation is in place. Fletcher Cox. Mm-hmm. Jernigan.
Yeah.
The entire offensive line, except for Peters, who is going to get cut after the season. All right. Defense, Jordan Hicks, yeah, might have to.
You might have to go get rid of him.
Because he is injury prone, you might get him at a pretty good price. Darby and McLeod back in a backfield that has three Pro Bowl players.
Yes.
100%. 100%. And this is, ready for this? Here you go. You're talking about a team that played without a running back. The three running backs we won a Super Bowl with, we didn't have. LeGarrette Blount, Jay Ajayi, and
Josh Adams.
No.
You talking about Corey Clement?
Corey Clement.
Now,
the three guys that were the biggest studs on the field for the running game in Super Bowl 52, and we did this without any of them. You get in a blue chip, anything. Yeah. You trade for somebody. Ajayi, I don't know. What do you have for him?
Yeah.
He's got one more year. He's coming off a bad injury. He's already injury prone. We all know this.
Yeah. But just so what you, the only reason I would consider what he's saying is because of the way this year like panned out. If Foles came in and we didn't make it to the playoffs, I would be cool with just like letting Foles go his way. But the fact that he came in and did what Carson couldn't, it showed me that Carson was trying to press, and I don't know if he's going to be able to recover from that. And that's just talking from a Cabinio standpoint, not trying to be on anybody's team. If you look at it, one was winning, and one was doing okay. But it seemed like he was trying to press because he saw the other guy doing good at his job. And it's human nature. It's like I've been in that position where I was hurt and somebody else was doing good at my job. I'm trying to rush back. I put some bullshit on film and I sat my ass down because I knew that I should have waited until I was fully healthy.
I completely get that. So that's one of my major points of why you can't keep both of them together.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. The only reason I was thinking about what he said is because we have Wentz, and it might be. Even though it's fairly young, it might be time for him to find greener pastures.
Foles is only 30.
Yeah, because Foles is only 30 too. So with Wentz, it's like even if he stays here and they get rid of Foles, what you think is going to be hanging over his head? Number 9 is still going to be hanging over his head because this is where he did it at. And if he can't, and put it this way, the first thing that all of us are going to say is when we get ousted in the first round of the playoff, it's like damn, I missed Nick.
People are just waiting to
say
that.
We're not getting ousted.
Okay. I hope not. I've met a bunch of QBs that are great during the regular season. They're fucking juggernauts.
They're not as good as Carson.
Well, we love you, Carson.
But Hollis, you did say when it comes to work ethic and stuff, you said Carson. I remember you saying that to me. Carson is a machine.
He is a machine, but to his fault though. At sometimes, you know what one of the key qualities is when you rehab him? It's fucking rest. Rest and recovery. You can't rest and recover if you continually working.
He doesn't care about working. Fultz works.
Yeah, Fultz sucks ass though. you count on one hand how many points Fultz has got in all his games.
You guys, this is going to conclude the second segment of the Sports Blizzard. We are going to go to break right now. When we come back, we are going to talk to professional handicapper Gavin Jay. We're also going to talk about futures for Sunday, where you kind of want to throw your shit. We're also going to get yelled at for everything I just said in the last 30 seconds.
Gavin.
We're gonna get it off Gavin. Your chest, even though it seems like everybody's been getting it off of your chest. And we have to fumble our stuff right here just to get it going right now. We'll be back in about 5 minutes. All right, we are back on the Sports Blizzard for our final segment. One more time before we get started, I want to go through our sponsors. Miller Lite, Yards Brewery, Stateside Vodka, distilled here in beautiful Fishtown, which I am not even close to and don't know why I said here. Bucks County Baseball CO.com. Their online store is bigger than their actual store, which is almost impossible because their store is huge. Go check out our friend JP Lutz there. 422 Jeep Limerick, our friend Mike McVay, walking, talking sports. Walk out with a brand new Jeep. I don't know what I'm going through sponsors. Tony, stop.
Sorry.
Kavanaugh's, all of our good friends at Kavanaugh's Riverdeck, Kavanaugh's Head House, Kavanaugh's Rittenhouse, and Kavanaugh's University City. Do not forget Strip. Palooza coming up at Delilah's and our good friends and all the beautiful ladies over there. Stripper Palooza. We've got a big cornhole tournament with... was that a bad segue?
Totally unrelated.
No,
totally unrelated.
No. With Farzi and Trey Thomas. And then immediately following the cornhole tournament, they're going over to Delilah's. This is all when the coveted Wing Bowl used to take place. And we're happy that Farzi is continuing the party because Farzi was responsible for Wing Bowl and all the bullshit that went with it. We're happy to see them over at 97.5. Good friends of the program. Do not forget about our good friends in Manayunk, Bourbon Blue at the bottom of Rector Street, right on the river. Our good friends at the top of the hill, the Bayou and Cactus. Don't forget about our friends at Manayunk Sport and Social, the most social intramural sports league in the city. And, of course, our good friend Ken Davies and all the City Fitness Philly locations, Northern Liberties, Fishtown, Graduate Hospital, Logan Square, South Philly, and Market East.
And Catalina Sports, if you have the urge to put a couple $100 down this weekend. Jump on CatalinaSports.com.
I don't know what that is.
CatalinaSports.com.
CatalinaSports.com. Another official sponsor of the Sports Blizzard. CatalinaSports.com. Catalina, C-A-T-A-L-I-N-A, Sports.com. I'm happy to be able to say that. I didn't think I would be able to get through that. Good stuff. All right. Look, what we're going to do, we're going to talk about the future of a few players on the Eagles right now. I think we're going to put the Wentz-Foles debate to bed just for now. I think if there's a possibility of keeping both of them, the problem is going to be, and we all know, is the salary cap. If you if you exercise Foles' contract year, it's going to cost you $20 million.
Possibly.
You're already going to get rid of, and this is a segue into it, I do not believe Jason Peters, as unfortunate as this may sound, will be with us next season. Hollis, what do you think about that?
I don't think he will be. It is unfortunate, but I'm hoping that they address it in the draft or the other kid out of the big rugby player.
Is there any chance Lane Johnson moves over when he goes?
Hell no, he better stay where he the fuck he at.
He's amazing at his position.
Yes, he tried to move over one time and it didn't fare well.
Well, isn't that his original position?
But not anymore. He's been playing. He's in the Pro Bowl where he is now.
Four or five years now.
Leave it there.
Leave him there.
You need to reconstruct the contract.
Reconstruct who contract?
But, for Peters to come back.
He might do that, but I don't know. He might do it, but it's somebody else.
He could be a great mentor to Vitae and Jordan.
I think he's probably going to be
coaching. He's already been. Is anybody interested in the fact that Jason Peters said that Jordan... Mulata.
He's gonna be great. Yeah,
is going to be the next Jason Peters.
Yeah, he is. That's what I was talking about.
Now, here's a question. That being said, and I get it. Mm-hmm. You know, we just came off the off season mm-hmm. where he was pulled out of
every game.
Pulled out of his home country to come check out my phone dropping.
Right,
and be part of the NFL, whatever they called that. Howie Roseman gives him a call. Hey, Jordan, we want to welcome you with a 6th-round pick to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right.
He didn't play a single down.
Nah, but he did pretty good in preseason, and he was doing great things. He was doing great things.
How
in practice.
Long do we expect it to take for this guy who bowls everybody over to become a permanent part of the offensive line? He's the biggest son of a bitch on the planet.
I know.
He's the angriest son of a bitch when he's playing.
Right. It's going to.
Can you hear me?
It's going to be one of those things where we have to see.
Who are we talking about? Jordan Mulata.
He's an offensive tackle.
Yeah. The NFL had a program in the offseason for Australian rules. Australian rules football. Look up this guy, Jordan Mulata.
6'8".
6'8", 340 pounds, and runs
playing rugby.
A 4'4".
Yeah, no.
Not a 4'4", he runs a 4'6". 4'6"?
I've seen him. You lost me on the Peters thing.
Peters has been mentoring him, and I think Peters is more than likely going to be an offensive line coach next year if he doesn't continue to play, if he doesn't kick down the guard. But I don't think he has to kick down the guard.
I think Jason Peters needs to retire now, so in 5 years I can have another trip to Canton.
Well, you know, the thing is like it's kind of hard to tell somebody to force somebody to retire. Because it's like he's coming off of major surgeries. So that first year after major surgeries, i.e. Carson Wentz, and it's gonna be slightly injury riddled. So the second, it's kind of up to him to see how his body feels at the end of the season. And once he starts doing rehab and he gets his full strength back, to see which way he wants to go. Because I think he not only has earned it right, but he's shown you that he can play at a high level when totally healthy, and even when at 85%.
I think you also have him at the end of training camp. If Vitae and Jordan aren't doing what they're supposed to do, you could sign him at the end of training camp.
Yeah, that's true too. Because you have to see, in order for you to get a chance to see the young guys, you kind of have to get the old guy out of the room. And Vitae has already shown me he can play.
He can play
with help. He's going to have those lulls where you say, does this kid really want to fucking play football? Like, I didn't come to play in New England, and the quote unquote it was a preseason game, fresh off the Super Bowl. Not knowing that the team you're playing was the team that you asked you kicked the Super Bowl, who's going to be looking for just a bit of retribution. What the fuck are you doing? It says so. It's one of those things where you have to look at you have to heart check. I feel like it's a heart check, because if your heart isn't in it, then get the fuck off the field. Don't come out here half-assing with me. I don't give a damn what it is. If we're out there to play, we're out there to play. You must protect yourself and your teammates at all times.
An uncomfortable topic that we need to get to.
Okay.
How much did this team take a step back with a Brandon Brooks Achilles injury? Yeah, nobody wants to talk about that dog in the room.
Well, you know what? What's going to really have to happen? Did they sign Isaac Seumalo or something? Or an extension or something?
I don't. Where else would he go?
No, Isaac Seumalo? Oh, no, did they sign him to an extension or something? I don't know.
I don't know.
But in any event, it's like you kind of going to be a wit's end, because everybody was kissing Seumalo's ass. And I had fights on the air on 94 WIP on the air with different people, including a couple of coaches, talking about Seumalo was doing good. He was getting his ass kicked, and that was just point blank. And you go to you could talk about all the greatest system that you fucking want to. But when you watch the tape, the constant thing is you're seeing other people's defensive tackles' numbers. And what you know why you're seeing their numbers? Because they're thrashing him and pushing his ass back by the quarterback, whether it be Wentz or Foles. It's like, I don't give a damn who you are. That doesn't equate to a good grade. It's like, so because they kept switching him out with Wisniewski. Now, you got Wisniewski.
What is up with that?
Yeah, because I don't think they like Wisniewski.
Why?
I don't know. But the thing to me is he gets in there. He's one of the reasons why we beat the Rams. A lot of people didn't pay attention to what he did to Aaron Donald, what Wisniewski did to Aaron Donald. He took his motherfucking lunch.
Family program.
When you look at what he does, you're going to be kind of good at one of the guard positions. But if the other guy doesn't come on, you're going to be pressed to push Brandon Brooks back probably quicker than you need to push him back. And that's
at this point of the season,
right?
If he's playing next year, that's a shock.
Yeah.
It's a 6 to 8 month injury.
Yeah, it's a 6 to 8 month injury. So I don't think it's
6 to 8.
Yeah. I don't think it's a shock if he comes in on a pup list and plays like later in the season. But I don't think we have him at the beginning of the season. No, you bring him in on a pup list automatically, so you don't have to.
Right.
So you don't have to use the spot.
All right, another guy on the. On the dossier, on the docket, Brandon Graham, big salary, lot of cap money next year.
He's a free agent, isn't he?
I don't think he's a free agent this year or next year.
I think he's a free agent next year, isn't he?
Is he? Anybody know?
He's end of the contract, Brandon Graham, right?
We need to give Brandon Graham money.
Yeah, we need to keep him.
He's leaving. He doesn't have a contract.
He doesn't. He's a free agent after this year.
That's what I'm saying.
He signed a 4-year deal. That was 4 years ago. There's no way. Hold on.
Yes,
keep
it was.
Talking. I'm looking at that.
Yeah, it was, because everybody thought he was going to renege after Vinny Curry got signed to all the cheese. So it's like but he knew he was going to get his. It's like it's one of those things where you better pay him, because if you don't pay him, somebody else will, because he's not that old.
Yeah, I would love to keep him. I think as long as we're fair with him, reasonable.
Yeah, I think as long as you're fair and reasonable with him, he wants to stay with the winning team.
Well, he already said he wants to make his home here in Philadelphia.
Yeah, exactly. It's like at a certain point where you got to.
Oh, my God. That was 4 years ago.
Yeah. Years ago.
Holy
shit. So you're doubting us again. See, that's the type of shit we got to deal with.
Well,
this show.
You see that, Gavin? No.
You see that, Gavin? No. I'm just
Awesome.
No, but that's great. But in these situations, this is it. You remember what we was talking about?
Oh, why, God, he's going to get paid.
Yeah, he is. You remember when I was talking, the situation I was talking to you about when you're dealing with organizations and the why I don't fucking like Andy Reid. This is one of the situations where if you treat your team like a family, and don't just say that we're a family, then you don't come to him with no bullshit offers. You come to him with something respectable, and don't offer after Hugh Douglas turned down a chance to null and void his contract. Don't come and offer him fucking $2 million the next fucking season after he just finished the season with double digit sacks and help lead us to another NFC championship and think that he's supposed to fucking take it. When you got Jacksonville offering him
$8 million. Put the mic on the table, Hollis.
Sorry, when you got Jacksonville offering him $8 million up front. And he's one of your guys, and he's supposed to be one of your guys. And you tell him there's nothing you can fucking do, and you're the GM and vice president of the team, and also the head coach.
Well, yeah, we talked about that yesterday. You can't be the GM and a head coach, because incentive laden contracts, and you can sit people.
Exactly, and that was the thing. That was one of the reasons everybody was asking me about my what was I pissed off? Pissed off because he lied to me. They told me I was going to make the incentives on my contract. And then the next mini camp, I come back and fucking Darwin Walker is starting in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
When he got me on the second team.
Does Tony and Gavin know about Power and Glory?
Papa, no, I don't know. Do you know about Power and Glory?
I love Power. I watch Power every week.
No, Power and Glory. This is one of the greatest stories of the 2004 Philadelphia Eagles.
Power's a great show.
No. We're talking about Power and Glory within the Philadelphia Eagles organization.
Okay, during that football season, there was four defensive tackles. It was myself, Sam Rayburn, who was the second team, and
Darwin Walker
and Corey Simon were the first team. So it got to the point where, one of them would get hurt like on first and second down, but then they would run back on the field on third down.
Third down is a sack play.
You know it's a pass rush. So then it's like, it was one play. It was one time where both of the jackasses got hurt, and it looked like they were fucking dying. And so me and truck driver, we was happy because we was about to get.
Truck driver Sam.
Truck driver Sam Rayburn. It's like, so me and truck driver, I thought, he's like, yeah, we about to get some glory.
get a sack.
We about to get some glory. Yeah. And how about this? Some fucking music came on from the back. Like some superhero type music. This motherfucker comes up off the table. One comes off the table, and one gets up off the bench with some smelling salt and run on the field on third fucking down. So then we were dubbed Power and they were dubbed Glory because we took the downs that nobody else wants. The downs where they're running the power old traps. The downs where they're double teamed the defensive tackle. The times where they're waiting for the nose guard to get upfield, and the other guy comes and knocks you across off the screen most of the time.
That's why Quimby wants Bryce Harper, so he can hear Star Wars music every
power
time.
Power and Glory.
I have no problem with that whatsoever.
Now you've just heard the story of Power and Glory. Way to go, truck driver.
Good stuff.
All right. We have Bennett for another year. Hollis and I were talking about that. 2 years?
Yeah.
Another 2 years.
Yes. We have Bennett for another 2 years?
Yeah. Oh, we do have Bennett for two years.
Do we?
Yes.
Oh.
All right.
If we do, that's what you keep him.
I was wondering what was going to happen with him. I not going to lie, right. Michael Bennett, you kept your nose down. You said one thing. I wasn't happy with my role in the defense. And guess what? You got more. And by the way, you got fucked out of at least three sacks this year.
Oh yeah, and a couple of jackass penalties too.
Do we re-sign Sproles?
If it's a veteran minimal.
Well, you do. He's gonna give you the discount, but you can't fuck him.
Well, the veteran minimum is
okay.
1.4.
Okay,
1.5?
You want to go to see with Pumphrey?
Then you sign him.
You want to go to see with Pumphrey?
Is he still on the roster on a practice squad? Danelle Pumphrey is still here. How did that son of a bitch not get cut? Remember him?
You want to go to see with Pumphrey?
No.
Okay then. You give that man a one year deal because he still poses. I don't give a fuck who you are. It's like it'll be different if he was a couple of years removed, but given what he was doing last year and still making those mismatches, I feel like this season will be that season where he's just going to get just a little bit better, and we're going to get the best of him, and then he can walk off to the sunset. I wouldn't pass up the opportunity.
You think,
Gavin? What do you, Gavin? Clement, what do you think?
I think we'll get Clement back.
But see, Clement is like, maybe he was like one of those one hit wonders.
He started to get soured at the end of the season. I think if a Jai takes a 1 year deal that works with us, but I think we have him.
Yeah, get on the mic. But Jai, I don't know. I love Jai and I love his ethic, but that injury.
He's got bad knees.
He got bad knees, and then.
And you just totally write off Josh Adams, huh?
Yeah, he can.
I'm not ready to write off Josh
Adams.
I'm
not totally ready to write him off.
And I'm not going
to
lie. I thought Smallwood played pretty well at the end of the season.
Yeah, but he kind of shrunk up a little bit. He kind of came up small in some.
Well, hold on. How many carries did he have in the second half?
And he had a minute.
What, one?
One
two?
Or two. But I will tell you, I wouldn't make it no short. I wouldn't make it no fucking secret that I would be drafting a running back. And I'm talking about drafting a fucking stud. Not nobody would have to fucking worry about.
Like, yeah. And guess what you can do?
What's that?
If you get a couple first-round draft picks for a certain quarterback, then you can.
Yeah.
And let's not talk about running backs not making an impact immediately, Ezekiel Elliott.
Who else? Who else? Go ahead. Give him another one.
Oh,
Saquon Barkley.
Saquon Barkley. Let's talk about New England.
Running backs can come in and make a difference right away.
Yeah, they can.
It's a different position, man.
I know, but that's the thing. Everybody keeps talking about it. It's like, but it's certain people, it's certain running backs that you just don't fucking pass up.
I agree. It's
the weird thing is I tend to crack up when you hear the, it's like, you don't draft a running back there. I was like, yeah, that's why you're not the head of a fucking franchise. You're a draft analyst.
Aside from the top tier running backs, is in your opinion, and Gavin, you as well, is that a very interchangeable position in your minds?
It actually depends. You know the
aside
weird,
from the top tier, like obviously aside from the top tier. Saquon.
Oh yeah, from the top tier, yeah. And it actually depends too, because you could get some guys, you get a couple of guys in there. The second tier running backs, they can pretty much do everything, but they don't have the size as a top tier. Like you see, Saquon Barkley is like 225, 230, so he give you power, speed, and he can run away from you, and he catch the ball. It's like
he can return kicks, he can return kicks, punts.
He does everything.
You knew coming out of Penn State he was a beast. Wide receivers are tough. It takes them a couple years to learn the playbook. Quarterbacks, you know, that's even tougher. We're still having this Wentz conversation, even though he's the best quarterback in the world.
No, Wentz. You know what we're having a Wentz conversation?
And there's the problem.
He gets hurt. Right. And he has yet to play in a playoff game.
Everybody, we are about to wind down the Sports Blizzard, but we do have a couple things to talk about before that takes place. We have more football on Sunday. And dare I say, two teams that I don't want anywhere near the playoffs are still fucking in it.
That'll teach you.
That would be the Tom Lombardi Patriots and the colossal slob in Kansas City.
Oh, God.
But before we do that, let's get to the early game. And we're going to talk about a little
Saints-Rams.
Little Saints-Rams. Well, that would be Rams versus Saints. Gavin, talk about what you think regarding this game. Let's give us point spreads, over unders, money line. Let's knock this one out of the park. Give us your analyzation. Did I say that right?
Yeah, that's tough though.
That's good.
These games are tough. They are. Both these games opened at 3. Kansas City line's still at 3. Saints are 3. Both home teams are favored.
Let's stick with Rams Saints right now.
Okay.
Saints are minus 3.
Saints opened at 3.
Basically, just the home point favorite.
Exactly.
But they went to LA and won.
They did. The total opened at 57 and moved down to 56.5. You don't really see a total move down that much because the public always plays the over.
Right.
So you usually see the line move up a little bit. So to see an early move down on the under means that it's a little bit probably sharp on the under. So you probably have some sharp and some big money out of Vegas hitting the under in the Saints game.
And keep focused, Hollis.
I was focused. Is that all you have?
So, Gavin, real quick. I got a question.
Yeah, Gavin?
Gavin, I got a question for you real quick.
Oh, well. Excuse me.
Sorry. Gavin, real quick. Drew Brees passing yards over under 320 for that game.
What was it?
320.
320.
I go under.
Props are tough. We probably have about 100 of them on that game. I would always tell people to...
And that would be CatalinaSports.com. CatalinaSports.com.
I would always tell people to lean to the under. the line's always inflated for an over on a proposition. So you always want the under on props. Props, the under's going to hit 60% of the time on props on the under. You'll make good money, bet the under.
Well, you know what? I was
and the hurricane coming in here.
A guy, save yourself.
Grenade!
Man down, pip in distress. what I was going to say was what I look at is the dual defense coordinator and offense coordinator between Sean Payton and Wade Phillips. Wade Phillips is one of the greater defensive coordinator minds around the NFL, and he's actually won a Super Bowl with Denver Broncos. They won back, but they had Peyton Manning at the helm, but Peyton Manning, he sucked ass.
Tell us what that has to do with this current Rams Saints game.
Because Wade Phillips is the current defensive coordinator there, and he's played them once already. He's played them once already. So
I don't want to hear about Denver. Let's focus.
No.
We got 6 minutes.
No, he's played the Saints already. So I guarantee you, he's went back to the labs to see what he could do to basically trick fuck Drew Brees.
Why do you like Wade Phillips?
Because he's a defense coordinator, and he remembered
and
me. He knew who I was.
He said he wanted you.
He said he wanted me. He said he wanted me back in the day. But one of the things though is like if you look at the way their defense is structured, it's like sooner or later, and also you have to look at also too as the New Orleans offensive line has been decimated by injury. So and you can't take into account how many number 75 Pete. On the New Orleans Saints, how many holding calls did he get?
God!
He got like 5 holding penalties versus him, and 2 false starts. So you don't think that's going to happen again? But he sucks. He's a backup.
And it's tough with these two games because both of them, both away teams, the public's on both of them.
Yeah,
the public's at 55-60% on the Rams
and on Kansas City.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Wait, no, Kansas City's.
Well, Kansas City, you got to remember Kansas City lost.
I'm sorry. The Patriots.
Patriots, because it's in Kansas City.
It's in Kansas City.
And people love to bet the Patriots.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a fact.
But when you look at what you had to look at also, too, is when the last game of these two teams that the Saints and Rams played, the Saints were at full strength. I'm going to wrap it up now. Saints were at full strength. And you have to look at that and see how they're going to take advantage of the decimation of the Saints line. So it's going to be a rough game.
Can see that, and we all know the Superdome is a very difficult place. So you're taking the Rams.
Yeah, I'm saying Rams. Even though I'm a former Saint, I'm taking.
Gavin,
the Rams.
What are you taking? No points.
Game's a toss up. I'll take the 3.5 with the Rams.
I said no points.
You gonna take the Rams?
Saints.
Okay.
I'm a Saints. Value guy.
Saints, unfortunately.
Again, I still revert back to what I said earlier. I think we watched the Super Bowl on Sunday. I think the Saints. Gavin, late game. New England in Kansas City. By the way, Kansas City, don't try to fool the rest of the world. You have the best fans in the country. You are so full of shit. You have 15,000 seats in that stadium that aren't taken up by season ticket holders. Kiss my dick.
I thought this was a family show.
Oh,
I thought we were in a circle of trust.
I'm sorry, there's no kids over there.
The tree of trust. I didn't...
Love Andy Reid.
Gavin.
Love the Chiefs.
What's the point spread? What's the over-under?
Gavin. I'm sorry.
Chiefs are -3. The total move started at 57 and moved down to 55.5, which is kind of a big move to go to the under. Personally, absolutely love the Chiefs. Brady's like 1-3 in Arrowhead against Andy.
Good stat.
That is a good stat. That's called a stat.
To me, this is a really, really simple game. Kansas City has been a better team than anybody else the entire year. I mean, they played the Rams at home. They won by 3. It was a really tough game. We were out in New Orleans for that game.
Yep.
The first one. And Kansas City just works, man. I'm not a big Mahomes guy, but they work. They have a lot of weapons. Kelce, Hill, like, they just go. They go.
They are quality offense. Their defense stinks to high heavens because the games you're speaking of, those games were won by like minuscule points, but it's in a high. Like the game that they lost to New England, guess what the score was? 42-43.
Then I'd add in the fact that New England is basically dead as a franchise and we won't see them for 10 years.
They are dead. we continue to think that they're dead as a franchise, but who the fuck do you think that Andy Reid's nemesis is?
Bill Belichick. I watched him lose to Belichick.
Exactly. So it's like, and some of the. This is my thing. This is his best opportunity to win one. As much as I fucking hate him, and I don't want to see him win shit. I think this is
down with the colossal slob.
It's his year.
I don't think it's his year.
Philadelphia Flyers, Volume 43.
Exactly. But I think this is one of those things where Bill Belichick, not fucking Tom Brady, but Bill Belichick comes out and shows everybody. Well, even though I hate the cheap son of a bitch, he's like one of the best guys to coach in the NFL. As much as I hate to say that, he cheated like a motherfucker. But when you look at what he does, each player, look at all the players that suck ass on other squads. Look at the Patrick Chung. Look at the Damian Lewis and the fucking James White. We had them in Philly when they sucked ass. The one kid was damn near a fucking Super Bowl MVP on the comeback. Do you see that? And I'm sorry for getting like that. It's because I see time and time again, I see somebody that should be on the fucking trash heap, and he brings them in and turns them into gold.
You can't argue.
As much as I hate Andy, and I hope he loses, this is his best shot to win, but I don't think he does it this time. I don't think he does.
Enjoy the Saints-Rams game back Kansas City.
Yeah, but I'm going to let you know. What I saw from last week's game, that power running game, is going to totally fuck over Kansas City. I'm wrapping this up. I hear the music.
No.
I hear the fucking music.
No, there's no music in the background. Music in my ears. It's the hurricane force winds.
Oh yeah. But based on what I saw.
Hold
last
on a
week,
second, Gavin.
Gavin.
Chiefs or Patriots?
Chiefs.
No score. No points.
No, he just said the Chiefs.
Sit down, watch the Saints-Rams game, enjoy it, and then make money on Kansas City. They're going to win the game.
Okay.
Take the money line. You don't need the points. It's easy.
House.
As much as I hate to admit, New England's going to win. It's not Big Red's time. It'll never be his time.
I'm going Palmer? Chiefs. I'm going all in on Chiefs. My bookie's a joke. I'm going to take all his money.
I am going to disagree, and we're going halfway. I think the Patriots win this game. It's still Belichick.
It's right there. I want you to bet. Bet it, brother. I bet it. Right now. I'm only bullshitting.
If you could only see the facial expressions and the body language going on at this table
right now. I just work here.
Everybody, we are getting into our final segment of the Sports Blizzard. We are going to look at Gavin and say, what are you asking me?
The sun is down, but you...
What's up?
What do you want to go for a luau? What the fuck are you doing?
I know. I didn't know there was another segment.
No. The last.
This is
wrap
it
up. Oh, let's wrap it up.
Yeah, we're wrapping it up, baby.
You wrap it up until you fuck it up.
And we are wrapping it up with Get It Off Your Chest. This is your opportunity to get anything off your chest, whether it's sports, politics, millennials, tikas. It doesn't even matter.
Would you like me to start off the segment so these guys know how it's done?
I was hoping you would.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm tired. You know what I'm tired of? I want to get this off my chest because I hear this
it's
weekend,
a big chest.
Weekend and week. Thank you. I work on it each day. But it's a weekend and week out, I get tired of hearing about potential. Potential is the thing that gets you fucking fired. And you know who I learned that from? Jim Johnson, because you can look at Jim Johnson was the defensive coordinator. He's like, you can look at potential all day long, and potential have you fucking mesmerized and have you thinking about stuff. But when that potential is finally reached, do you still have a fucking job? Are you still in charge of that potential?
Right.
And he gave me this other analogy, which fucking cracked me up. He said, potential is like playing prevent defense. It'll prevent you from having a fucking job, and it'll prevent you from winning.
Winning.
That's the main. That if you learn anything from me, I don't need to know about your potential. I need to know what your skill set is, what you can do for my
Nick
squad today.
Foles,
boom,
Palmer. Anything to get off your chest?
All I want to say is, over all the years of the past Eagles team, so on and so forth, that I've been invested in and I've been excited about, and then there's that one play, no matter what it is, whether it's a touchdown by the other team or time runs out or whatever, where
somebody throwing up.
Where the season is over, that moment where the season's over, this was the only time that I was obviously disappointed that the season was over, but I wasn't upset. It was obviously like a feeling of like joy, almost, because I was just proud of the team. And I've never had a season end like that where I was proud of the team and proud of the players.
Right.
And I just never had that feeling before. That's all I got.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a fucking lot. Well, 10 years.
Can we de-slam that microphone back down on the table?
I'm going to slam it down. I'm thanking him for letting me know that I disappointed him for 10 fucking
Bad
years.
Bad enough the dynamic microphones are picking up every bit of breeze. Gavin, got anything you want to get off your chest?
I do.
Go ahead.
The Flyers, until every former player has absolutely nothing to do with this part of the organization, I want to hear nothing about them except their fucking reunions.
Put it right there, buddy. You know he doesn't even do the show with us. He doesn't even do the show with us, and that's what we preach every fucking time.
You know what? You know what? I there's no way I can follow up with that.
You can't.
There really isn't.
Hold on, do you listen to our show?
Yep.
That's a mic drop.
I'm on vacation for 3 fucking months. I have nothing to get off my chest. Gavin took care of it. Everybody make sure you subscribe to us on Google Play and iTunes by searching for the Sports Blizzard from Miller Lite, Yards Brewery, Stateside Vodka, Bucks County Baseball Company, 422 Jeep Limmer, Cavanaugh's Restaurants in Philadelphia, Delilah's Bourbon Blue, the Bayou Cactus, and Manny Young's Sport and Social, City Fitness Philadelphia locations, Northern Liberties, Fishtown, Graduate Hospital, Logan Square, South Philly, and Market East. The entire table's already getting up. I have to put some music on. We will talk to you next week, and love you.